Empire Standards. This is episode 37. With us every week, granted no problems arise, are myself and Renee.
I feel like I'm only gone when problems arise.
Yeah, but and Jason is not here. That's why you're hearing my voice at the beginning of this, because Jason loves to do the introduction. But Jason is not here due to work standards. Renee, I feel like you're here almost every week. The only week you weren't here was last week, wasn't it?
The only 2 weeks I haven't been here is because of hospital trips.
Yeah, so it's completely understandable.
Pretty much, if Renee is not here, something is blowing up.
Yes. World War III action. So we want to start by thanking Gamers Vault for hosting us. They have a Higher Standards Monday Night Magic standard tournament every Monday, and also they are looking to, they're basically our sponsor. Let's just go with that. So while talking about Gamers Vault, we're going to go with their awesome standard open that they're starting. Renee, did they just get sponsored?
They did. They just got their, well, it's not sponsored. It's their authorized retailer through Wizards.
Awesome. That's very cool.
So now you get to go play for Planeswalker points.
Nice. And I'm sure everybody that's been playing there loves the idea that they're going to get more out of the game.
Yes. So, it also makes it easier for them to buy products and all of that jazz. And they should be able to do a Battle for Zendikar pre-release.
Nice. So I heard because they're not getting that many players, they won't be able to host the Two-Headed Giant, which really sucks. But hopefully with us getting their name out there and people just going through the shop, they'll be able to punch up their numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, your first pre-release, you kind of always want to focus more on the easier stuff because you tend to have a lot of newer players at newer stores. So explaining Two-Headed Giant rules.
Yeah.
To people who barely understand the regular rules, maybe not the best idea.
Yeah, I remember going in, and I was like, so 40 life, right? Because that's how it used to be. And they're like, no, it's 30, and you get a free mulligan. It was very confusing.
Yeah. But, you know, you also have, right now, I think they only got the core level.
Okay.
So that doesn't allow them to buy as much pre-release material as a lot of stores would like. So as they get the numbers from Battle for Zendikar, it might enable them to have more product than Two-Headed Giant for World Wake 2, World Wake Harder.
Sweet.
So, yes, I stole it from you. I do. Trevor came up with World Wake Harder.
That sounds good.
So, go out, support them. It'll enable them to do better things later on down the line, no matter what the sets are called.
Speaking of support, on September 12th of 2015, obviously, at 12 p.m., so that is noon, registration is at 10 a.m., they're having this amazing tournament for Standard. I'm just going to go with the prizes because that's what is the best thing about this. The
first No, the best thing is that it's $50, but if you pre-register, it's only $45.
Oh, well, saving money is always good.
And now it goes to the part of why it's $50.
Yeah, first place, you get one unlimited Black Lotus. That is right, you get one of the Power 9, which is the biggest one. And that's worth more than your entry fee, even if you save those $5. Second place is one unlimited Mox Ruby. Third place is a Mox Pearl Unlimited. Fourth place, a Mox Emerald. And going down, it just gets better and better with Modern Masters, Tarmogoyf, Star Confidants.
The RPTQ Liliana of the Veil.
Yes.
Which it's the same art, but some people are like going crazy for it. So if you're one of those people, you do you and go win it.
Nice. Yeah, so good luck to anybody who goes, and hopefully that does boost their numbers. Now, going into the show, we're starting off with some Star City Games results. So this wasn't an actual open, because their open was Modern, I believe?
I think Modern sounds right.
Yes, but they did have an IQ, and we got the top 16 from them. So where was this located, Renee?
Charlotte.
And that's North Carolina?
That is North Carolina. Congratulations. You've looked at a map.
No, it's because Jason's not here. I'm just guessing on a win. That's what I do. But first place was Abzan Rally. That's right. Abzan Rally is back, winning first places. And it's everything we've seen before. It's got the...
extra Lilianas.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Four Lilianas in the main. It's got the Mogus Marauder, Merciless Executioner, and Fleshbag Marauder in the package.
And Nantuko Husks.
The winning... yeah. They're so, always going to win off of Nantuko Husks.
There isn't much different here. It's got four Collected Company and four Rally the Ancestors. The sideboard doesn't really have any surprises in it. Except that it has an Anafenza, I assume, to try and shut down opposing rally decks.
Makes sense.
And then Duress and Thoughtseize if they need to go into a more controlish type set shell, even though they don't really have any kill spells for it. Besides a Hero's Downfall. Yeah. So, Abzan Rally, not completely gone. Definitely consider if you're in the Abzan colors to run Anafenza. If you're not, maybe bust out a Tormod script.
In second place, this came out of the woodwork. And Ascendancy Combo by Patrick Hardinson. Yeah, the old Jeskai combo with Jeskai Ascendancy, Briber's Purse, and Retraction Helix. That, it can still win games. I mean, it's got one of Jason's favorite new cards. It's got two days Undoing. Do you want to just run through the list, Renee?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen this. So we've got a total of seven creatures, one Rattleclaw Mystic, four Sylvan Caryatid, and two Voyaging Satyr. We've got a total of 22 lands, one forest, two island, one mountain, and two plains. So we've got four different types of mana here. Flooded Strands, Bivouacs, Confluences, and then one of Temple of Mystery and Temple of Plenty. And then one Windswept Heath and one Wooded Foothills. So the mana fixing is really strong in here.
Yeah.
We have 31 spells. We have one Altar of the Brood.
Interesting.
Two Briber's Purse, one Dragon's Mantle, four Jeskai Ascendancy, four Anticipate, four Defiant Strike, four Retraction Helix, two Swan Song, two Commune with the Gods, 2 Days Undoing, four Treasure Cruise, and one Twin Flame. Yeah, so the core package is completely the same as we saw forever ago, but it has a lot of interesting things like Twin Flame, which is, it's from, hold on, I can't read it, it's very tiny print. It's from Journey into Nyx. It's a sorcery, it costs 1 and a red with Strive, where the Strive costs 2 and a red, in addition to that 1 red. Choose any number of target creatures you control. For each of them, put a token that's a copy of that creature onto the battlefield. These tokens have haste. Exile them at the beginning of the next unstep.
So I guess he's just trying to slam mana with this?
Yeah, I mean...
these creatures are only mana creatures, and they're going to gain haste, so... I guess being able to untap your lands... It's a really interesting addition.
Excuse me. Past that, the other interesting one is Swan Song, which is just a blue instant counter target enchantment, instant or sorcery spell. Its controller puts a 2/2 blue bird with flying into the battlefield.
Yes.
I
see this card being played more in modern.
Yeah, it comes out a lot in the more eternal formats just because that it's a good addition for one blue. And then past that, I guess, I don't remember Altar of the Brood being played.
And it's only one of, but it's a little confusing. I mean, I guess with the land package he has, the 4-footed, it's basically a landfall card, because Altar of the Brood is, for one, it was from Khans of Tarkir, an artifact. Whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. So it's a mill effect, but with only 7 creatures... you're not really... I mean, every time you hit a land, you're going to be getting the trigger, so there's that.
It's also another target for Retraction Helix.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And also, every time Briber's Purse comes back into play for free...
Yeah. And Twin Flame, so when all of your copies of creatures come about.
Yeah.
If you can get your two one ofs together.
It's a cute secondary win con. So I guess there's that.
The sideboard doesn't have much in it except for two hollowed moonlight.
Yes.
So this puts a nice hose on those rally decks, although he did come in second against rally, so.
Yeah. He might not have drew it, but obviously he knew something was coming, so. Hallowed Moonlight is going to be the card to go to if you think that your metagame is going to be hosting any rallies.
Do not let them rally. Third place was Joshua Lutz. It's Mardu Dragons. It's really no different than the other dragons.
We're definitely getting into the time where we see the same decks occurring. We might not see the same decks winning, which is always a good thing, but once we start going down the list, the same decks start showing up.
In fourth place was William Pulliam? Or Will Pulliam? I really mished that together. Like William Pulliam then. Alright, sorry Will. It's Abzan Control.
Yeah, three Elspeth, one Ugin. He's got the two Languish and Kill spells.
You know, I was playing with Languish over the weekend, and every time I have Languish, I wish I had had Crux of Fate or End Hostilities.
Did you always have the mana for it? The Crux?
Yeah, I always had the mana for it. It was just like, their guys were over 1 point.
Oh, I understand. Their Siege Rhino, they had a Siege Rhino or a Tasker out.
Yeah, just anything that was just slightly bigger, and it was like, damn it.
That's always a problem.
Or like, somebody had out Polukranos.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, oh, well, that's not going to do anything.
While we're talking about that, I believe that's the big reason Polukranos is getting a lot more play right before it rotates, other than Sorok, because Sorok's a 5-4.
Yes.
Polukranos is the 5-5. The Languish is there, it's in the back. And it's always going to be in people's minds. So, I don't know. Sorok might not see that much play going forward.
I wish I had gone up against the next deck during, while I had the Languishes in hand, though. It's Azorius Heroic by Brad Carpenter.
Yes.
Nothing is different here.
Nothing at all. He's got two Suburban Denial, but we're seeing that more often than not going forward. In the board, he's got two Hangerback Walkers, which I'm kind of surprised it's not in the main.
But yeah, they don't have Heroic.
I guess not.
But yeah, so nothing new and exciting there. Sixth place.
Another Abzan Control by Justin Klaus.
Klaus? I don't know. This one isn't running the Ugin. So that's really the only difference here, and it's not running Nissa either. Just a Nissa in the sideboard.
It's the new Nissa.
Yes.
Which is interesting to have her in the sideboard. Do you think that they would want the... I don't know, what's your thoughts on Corsair or Nissa and Corsair?
You run them together!
Yeah, you think you put them both? So what I did in my deck online is I took out the Corsairs altogether, and I put in two Nissas, and it's been working, especially when you get to that seventh mana, but I don't know.
I was running four Coursers and two Nissas.
Okay.
So more often than not, I was playing Courser, yes. Which then enabled me to get to Nissa,
yes.
And also get Nissa to flip over almost immediately.
Makes sense.
Nissa was always really sweet when I got her. In fact, I got into a Nissa war with somebody.
Okay.
Where we had opposing Ashayas. So that was awesome. And he was really fun to play against, too. I don't remember his name, though.
Yes.
I don't remember anybody's name.
In seventh place, we have White Green Devotion by James Lee. He's running four Hangerback Walkers. This is something that's pretty new and exciting. We haven't seen this around. So I'll run through this list. 26 creatures. Four Walkers. Four Archangel of Ties. Two Den Protector, four Fleecemane Lion, two Warden of the First Tree, two Wingmate Rock, two Anafenza Kintree Spirit, two Brymaz King of Araskos, two Kaifeon, Hero of Akros, two Heliod, God of the Sun, two Planeswalkers, and they are Johnny, Mentor of Heroes, 24 lands in the white-green. So he's running four Blossom Sands, which is the one that gains a life and comes in tapped. Two Nykthos, eight spells, four Jamoka's Command, two God's Willing, one Godsend, and one Return to the Ranks. And for those that don't remember Return to the Ranks, it is X, white-white, Convoke, return X target creature cards with converted mana cost two or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, and it is a sorcery.
So this isn't Abzan. You called it Abzan. And it's Celestia.
Yes, Celestia. I think I said white green. Yes, you are right. It is the Celestia colors.
And I love this. This makes me so happy.
In the board, and this is interesting to me, I don't know where you would put this in against. He's got two Knight of the White Orchid, which I think should be in the main. Two Vanishing Light. Three Celestial Flare. Interesting. One more Godsend. One Dragonlord Jamoka, two Elspeth Sun's Champion, two Revoke Existence, and two Tragic Arrogance.
I like this a lot.
Yeah, I like the whole list.
I approve this message.
So why do you think he's got the White of the Night Orchid, Knight of the White Orchid, in the board instead of the main?
I think it's just because he has a very clogged two-drop spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if need be, he can drop his curve lower.
Okay.
Don't know why you would possibly need a lower curve than this.
So as soon as you said that, I went like, why wouldn't he have this in the main for the Windmate Rock and then build up your curve later?
Just because Windmate Rock is so good against so many things like right now.
Okay.
It's kind of... I find it's a better solution to a lot of problems.
Okay.
Then another 2/2. Like, Trevor plays a black-white version of this. And it is very much so there needs to be a bigger threat to close out the game. Okay. He can get them down to 3 or 4 life, but then it's very difficult to push past that.
The board's just clogged up.
Yeah. So Wingmate Rock is a good solution to that. Heliod is a good solution because you're very easily hitting the devotion for him.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, I just think it's there just to have that over the top. I've gotten you to this point, now I'm going to swing in with my flyers.
And this looks like one of those decks where you can easily get Kaifeon to transform into Gideon.
Oh yeah.
So that's always a good thing. Moving on, in 8th place, we have another Blue-White Heroic by Cody Sweeney. This is the normal thing that we've been seeing, everything that we've talked about. Instead of Stubborn Denial, it's got a Triton's Tactics and a Treasure Cruise.
And Hangerback Walker's in the sideboard.
Yes.
Ephemeral Shield's in the sideboard. It's kind of interesting.
So I think... Oh, never mind. I wasn't thinking that. So, what is Ephemeral Shield for those of the listeners that don't remember?
Ephemeral Shield is a common from M15. It's an instant that costs 1 and a white. It has Convoke. Target creature gains indestructible until end of turn.
Seems pretty good. Especially in this matchup.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, really this is kind of... We're going back towards Azorius versus the Celestia heroic, so it's kind of all there is to it. It's just what it is.
9th and 10th, we have Abzan Aggro. We know those lists, so we're not really going to go over those unless you want to hit something specific.
No, I don't think so.
11th, we have a oldie but a goodie, we've seen this a couple of times, by Christian Ring. This is Temur Dragons.
I want this to work so much.
I know, it's such a difficult build. Because he's going with Dragon Lord Jamoka, he's got the Thunderbreaks, he's got two Stormbreath, and also Icefall Regents.
So we've got four colors.
Okay.
Red, blue, white, green.
Maybe they just called it Temur just because the white's just...
Oh yeah, no, that's totally understandable. It's just kind of like, oh my god, four colors. Oh, but I guess, yeah, with Zenagos, no, you can only make red or green with Zenagos.
It's all about Haven.
It is. Ah.
It's all the Haven love.
And then the sideboard, it doesn't... There's no green over there. Oh, nope, there's a back to nature. There's no white. So it is primarily Teemer. They just decided Dromoka was a better answer than Atarka.
Yes, and Dromoka is such a good answer to control.
Yes. Yes, I learned that quite well.
And he's got 5 Planeswalkers, 2 Sarkhan the Dragonspeaker, the old one, not the Teemer colors, 1 Ugin the Spirit Dragon, and 2 Xenicus the Reveler, as Renee was alluding to. And, yeah, I think with Xenicus, if you get him down early, you're just going to be banging him with your Satyrs, but if you can ramp up to your Dromoka or your, obviously he's not going to make the white, but if you have the Haven or your other dragons, then that's what you want. We've got another Abzan Rally in 12th, and what's this, 1, 2, 2 more Abzan Aggros in 13th, 14th, and Abzan Control, nothing new, and then finally a Jeskai Aggro in 16th, which has the whole Mantis Rider, Soulfire Grandmaster, and Jace in the main.
And then just try and burn you out and spill you out. So, you know, kind of a, there were some fun things happening here, but not too much different. Past that, there, like we said, there wasn't an open. This was all that Star City did for Standard. There wasn't a GP this past weekend because they wanted to push people towards Eternal Weekend.
Yes.
And I also believe that there wasn't a GP because of the WMCQs that were occurring.
Mm-hmm. Which are what? Because first time I heard of it, I was like, what does that even stand for until I thought about it?
What do you mean you don't speak alphabet soup?
Exactly. I'm in the military and everything is acronyms, so this just boggled my mind because I was like, there's too many in my brain.
Yeah, you should come join me at my job. I'm writing a document right now and every other word is an acronym. So, the WMCQ is the World Magic Championship. Well, it says World Magic Championship, but it's the World Magic Cup qualifier.
Oh, that was my fault. See what I mean? I tried to put it together and I screwed it up.
Yeah. It's the World Magic Cup qualifier. And they happened in...
All over
the world, yeah. There was one here in Philadelphia, that was happening right alongside of Eternal Weekend. It was the smallest WMCQ I've ever been to.
Okay.
Because instead we had almost 800 people playing Legacy.
That's pretty crazy.
It was pretty nuts. There was a lot of money in that room. So that happened. The only results right now that we have though are from South Africa.
Ooh.
That
place is beautiful, by the way.
Malaysia, which is another beautiful place.
Yes.
And then where did I say?
Oh, Fnatic Rusklid.
Rusklid, which was, what country did I say that was though?
Denmark,
there we go.
See, I'm all over the geography this time.
Yeah, I know, thank you so much, because I keep wanting to say Denver, but I know it's not Denver, that's America. Again, I can't remember names. So we have those three up on MTG Top 8. We'll link them in the show notes. Anything you wanted to talk about from Denmark?
Denmark, alright, let me backtrack. So we're going backwards. Alright, Denmark.
I don't know.
That's fine. Denmark, first and second place. Interesting wins. So, first and second place were both Devotion to Green. And these decks are not something that Control really wants to see. I mean, you think it would be, but...
It's too fast.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be flooding the board even if you wipe it. So let's just run through this first list by Daniel Lind. 24 lands, 4 Nykthos, and red and green. Actually, yeah, it's... 4 Nykthos, 4 Temple of Abandon, 4 Wooded Foothills, 1 Mountain, 1 Rugged Highlands.
And then 10 Forests.
Yeah, 10 forests. And the reason that red is in there, we will get to. So 4 Whisperwood Elemental, 4 Elvish Mystic, 4 Rattleclaw Mystic, 3 Dragonlord Atarka, there's that red, 3 Prolucranus World Eater, 3 Denmis Raptor, 3 Sylvan Caryatid, 3 Courser of Crufix, 3 Genesis Hydra, and 1 Arbor Colossus. For instance, in sorceries, there's only one, and that is a Crater's Claw. And for other spells, there's 3 Xenagus, the Reveler, and 1 Ugin. In the board, he's got what you would expect, 1 more Arbor Colossus, 1 Ugin, 1 Nissa Worldwaker, 1 Plummet, 1 Unravel the Aether, 1 Naturalize, 2 Hornet Nest, 1 Reclamation Sage, 3 Nylea's Disciple, 1 Gaia's Revenge, and 2 Roar of the Roar of Challenge, which is 2 in a green, an uncommon from Khanzad Tarkir for a sorcery. All creatures able to block target creature this turn do so. And ferocious, that creature gains indestructible until end of turn if you control a creature with 4 power or greater.
So that's a pretty sweet card. I'm actually surprised we haven't seen that more often.
Yeah. Now that I read it, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's really neat because you can have them force a block on your Genesis Hydra or your Arbor Colossus and be able to get it through easily with your Whisperwood and all of your tutus.
Yeah, it almost seems like this was made just for a mirror match.
Yes. But yeah, no, that's actually a really cool piece of tech.
Yeah, he's got 2 of them, so he's got a very high chance of hitting it.
If you, like, the Ferocious is... people really knock on Ferocious, but for a green mechanic, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you'll never not get it. It's always going to be there.
So, good job, Daniel Lind. He will be on the Denmark team for the World Magic Cup, which will be broadcast, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But we got a couple of weeks before that happens.
I like the fact that he's running the 3 Deathmist Raptor, but he... I mean, he's got Rattleclaw Mystics for the turnover, but he's not running any Den Protectors in the entire 75. So that's pretty interesting.
I don't think he needs them with the Whisperwoods.
Yeah, I guess that works.
Because, you know, you flip over a Elvish Mystic and you get back a Raptor.
Good point. In second, as I said, there was another devotion to green. Basically the same list. This one's running 4 Dragonlord Atarkas, and everything else is about the same. No Deathmist Raptor, so there's that. 2 Ugins instead of 1. Anything interesting you see?
No. This is a lot less red heavy. No Crater's Claws. So, you know, just red for Atarka and Xenagos, and then Destructive Revelry in the sideboard, which I think is a fantastic choice.
Mm-hmm.
And Seismic Rupture, which is something that we haven't really seen.
In
these decks, I feel like maybe we have, and I just have missed it.
No, I agree with you. It shows up every once in a while, but it's not something normal.
Yeah, so outside of that, the only other deck I want to talk about is, because from there, it goes third and fourth place were Abzan Midrange.
Yes.
Both of them. And then sixth and seventh place were Jeskai Midrange. And then eighth place is a little bit interesting, and I'm not sure if this is actually eighth place because the way MTG Top 8 does it is weird. Yeah. Soul Tide Control.
Yes.
Which we've had Ethan on the group talk about a lot. Robert Vaughn's been on it since Origins came out and has been posting regular articles to his blog about it. So, it's interesting because we haven't really seen it anywhere else. And now we have.
So what's the big change here to the old Soul Tide Control?
I feel like there are a lot of changes to this list in particular. We've got 24 lands, which are all bug variants.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 4 Dime Protector, 4 Deathmiss Raptor, 4 Jace Vryn's Pop Prodigy, 4 Satyr Wayfinder, 1 Tasigur the Golden Fang, and 1 Salamgar the Drifting Death. And then we have 4 Thoughtseize, 4 Heroes Downfall, 3 Languish, 3 Dig Through Time, 2 Disdainful Stroke, 1 Sultai Charm, and 1 Murder's Cut.
Yeah, not much counter in this.
No, it's all very reactive. Solutions. Which is just interesting, especially because he made it this far in a field of 73 players, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd
like to mention in the board, he's got 3 Feed the Clan, and in the top 8, we have seen no red deck wins, so it's pretty interesting.
They were all heated out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to bring up that Sultai Control is still around. It's still a great deck. If I had the Jaces, I'd be running it.
Yeah, they are pretty penny right now, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're very expensive.
So it says, on TCG Player, it says it's $28 rounded up.
Oh, and that's Paper Magic. Yeah, $28.
Yeah, it costs more on Magic Online.
Oh, no thank you.
No.
Alright, so which WMCQ do we want to move to next?
Let's move on to Malaysia.
Malaysia. I want to go to Malaysia. And previously we said Red Deck Wins wasn't there. Guess what won this one?
That's right. Different part of the world, different players. Red Deck Wins is first place. By Renee, you take this name.
Saeed Zulkarnain. Zulkarnain. Yeah, I think that's about as close as I'm gonna get.
Better than me. So yeah, red deck wins. 4 Eidolon of the Great Rebel, 4 Abbot of Carol Keep, 4 Monastery Swift Spear, 3 Zergo Bell Striker. I almost did the backwards. Almost said Burgo Zell Striker. But I did it. So 2 Lightning Berserker, 1 Fire Drinker Satyr, and 1 Goblin Heel Cutter. It's got what you would expect from the instants and sorceries for red deck wins. And yeah, first place. 94 players at this event.
And the top 8 isn't anything to slouch at. We've got Mardu Aggro in second place, which is by Nicholas James. And it's very similar to the Mardu Dragons type builds. For some reason, they just labeled it Aggro. Yeah, I guess, sure. And then we've got Gruul Dragons. They actually labeled it Gruul, but it's actually Jund because this one plays a Kolaghan.
So just like the Teemer, this one's adding a black source from Haven of the Spirit Dragon and Mana Confluence to get that Kolaghan down.
And then Jeskai Midrange, Abzan Midrange, two more Mardu Aggros, which I think are more dragon variants.
Yes.
My MTG top 8 just froze. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's got Kolaghan Storm Fury, it's got Thunderbreak Regions, and Stormbreath Dragon in the Mardu Aggros. Seems like everybody was on the same deck, actually.
Yeah, I wonder if these guys test together.
Could be. If they do, that's very awesome that they both made top 8.
Oh yeah, all 3 of them. Like, that's fantastic. And then Rakdos Aggro, which I thought was a little interesting.
Yeah, it's a little more control to me. But...
Do you want to go over this real quick?
Sure. So, we've got the Rakdos lands, we've got 3 Bloodfell Caves, which is out of the ordinary. I mean, not for Rakdos, but for us talking about it. 2 Haven of the Spirit Dragon, and 1 Urborg Tome of Yawgmoth. And 16 creatures, 4 Stormbreath Dragon, 4 Hangerback Walker, 4 Thunderbreak Regent, 3 Flamewake Phoenix, haven't seen that too much, 1 Kolaghan the Storm Fury. For instants and sorceries, it's got 4 Draconic Roar, have those dragons, so why not? 3 Thoughtseize, 2 Kolaghan's Command, 2 Magma Spray, 2 Vile Blight, 2 Heroes Downfall, 1 Ultimate Price, and 1 Murderer's Cut. And then it has 2 of Jason's favorite Outpost Siege. In the board, a Thoughtseize, a Heroes Downfall, a Chandra Pyromaster, Read the Bones, Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker, these are all 1-0s if you haven't caught that, Self-Inflicted Wound, then 2 Duress, 2 Anger of the Gods, 2 Crux of Fate, and 3 Falzon Invocation.
So yeah. I think this is actually a really good idea. And you can very easily adapt this for your meta, and it's relatively cheap.
The whole deck
of the whole deck in paper is being estimated at TCG mid for about $231, which is definitely on the cheaper end of a standard deck.
Yeah, and for what everybody's been playing, they have most of these cards anyway. You would think if they started at cons, at least.
Yeah, there isn't too much. I mean, Heroes Downfall, Stormbreath, and that's really kind of about it in the main deck.
I mean, I guess
a Bioblight, but those are really easy to find.
Yeah.
I think this is something that if you want to play standard, but don't have lots of money to toss at it, most of these things are not going to rotate out.
Yeah.
And the ones that are relatively cheap besides maybe Heroes Downfall and Thoughtseize.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably find some friends to borrow that from and then adapt the sideboard to what you have.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that up just because it was a cheaper but well-performing deck.
Agreed. Moving on, going to the middle part of the world, depending on what globe you look at, in South Africa. Why don't you go over this? You thought this was pretty interesting.
Yeah, so we had 116 players in South Africa. Real quick, I want to go over just the list of decks that were in the top 8. We have Dimir Control, Devotion to Temur, Esper Dragons, Abzan Midrange, and Red Declans. So a good combination of things. First place was the Dimir Control list, which is very similar to what we were seeing a while ago, blue-black control. But now we've decided to add some languages.
Zero creatures.
We're back to, like, just oops, all spells.
Yeah, which is always fun.
We've got Perilous Vault, Clash of Wills, which isn't something that, it came out in Origins, it's an uncommon. Blue X, instant counter target spell unless its controller plays X, so it's our weakened syncopate. Which I want to talk about that later, but that's okay. We've got Silence the Believers on the main board, which is great against your Hangerback Walkers.
Yes.
We've got Languish, which I would expect to see here, but we also have, I thought I had seen, or maybe not, I might be lying. No Cruxes, but we have the Perilous Vault, so. And then that's kind of it for the new cards. We even have a Salumgar command in this deck.
And a Dark Petition.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting tech right there.
So, all kinds of interesting things thrown into here. In the sideboard we have, Orbs of Warding. Which is, you have Hexproof, and if a creature would deal damage to you, prevent one of that damage, which is super relevant in this type of deck. Especially at turn 5. Another Salumgar's command, and then Infinite Obliteration.
Yeah, this was the card that I was all about, and haven't been seeing much play lately.
Why don't you go over it real quick?
Sure. So Infinite Obliteration is one black-black, it was a rare, in Magic Origins, a sorcery. Name a creature card. Search target opponent's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards with that name and exile them. Then that player shuffles his or her library. Pretty good if every deck basically around the world is playing Hangerback Walkers in one way or another.
That Hangerback Walker is a pretty safe thing to name with this. I compare it to the Slaughter Games.
Oh, yeah.
It was never a main board card, but it was a great sideboard card because you just name what was giving you a problem in the first game, and it's taken care of.
Yeah, and against control, it was an amazing card. It couldn't be countered.
Yes. I loved the Ravnica can't be countered.
Yes. Unfortunately, this one can. But depending on what you're playing against, like we saw earlier with the mono green, you could easily hose an entire deck with this.
And I think really when you look at the difference between Slaughter Games and this. Slaughter Games was a lot harder to cast. It was red and black and cost 2 versus just 3 CMC and 2 black. So, good job to Eric Damian Andrews in South Africa, for bringing this back to life. In second place, we had the Devotion to Temur, which we, what did we figure out? Oh, the Temur was only for the sideboard.
Yeah, there was a 3 Stubborn Denials in the board. Other than that, this is basically like the green-red devotion we were seeing. It's got the Atarkas, the Blucrinus, the Sorak, the Hunt Caller. An interesting addition to this is 2 Shaman of the Forgotten Ways, which, Renee, you have an interesting story about that?
So this Shaman of the Forgotten Ways is appearing a lot lately. Because guess what? Biorhythm's pretty easy to get off in this type of deck.
Yeah.
And normally your opponent doesn't have many creatures.
I've seen it played against me on MTGO a couple of times. It's cute when it first hits the deck, but you don't want to let it get out of control.
Yeah, I got Biorhythm to 0. So, yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing that happens. So just be aware of it because people are running this card and it's awesome. I laugh so hard. I lost the round, but I laugh so hard. Then we had the 2 Esper Dragon / Control-ish. Really the only difference between these two is one's running Jace and the other ones aren't. Then we have Abzan Midrange, which is super what we would expect to see.
Yep, 3 versions.
Yep. I would almost call the middle version by Kieran Chidi. Chetty? Maybe yep. Chetty. More on the aggro side.
Okay. You're basing that off the Wardens?
The Wardens, the Den Protector, the Hangerback Walker, the Fleecemane Lion. Like, that little package right there kind of puts it into the aggro territory for me.
Makes sense.
Plus Anafen's in the main board. Yeah. So really awesome. I wonder how he found the Hangerback Walkers and the Anafen's together working.
I wouldn't see a complication in that.
Really? Because it's only opponent's graveyards.
Yeah.
Okay, so it turns off the opposing Hangerback Walker. I don't know why I thought it was all graveyards. I can't read. I was like, that's a non-bow. Oh, wait, no, never mind.
That's why we're talking about it. It gives additional counters to
it
the Hangerback
Walker. It does give additional counters to the Hangerback Walker.
So that's a pretty cute interaction.
So, never mind. Total combo, not a non-bow. Excuse me.
I would like to mention all 3 of these ads in midrange are still playing because Renee, you weren't here last week, but Tragic Arrogance was all over the place.
Yes.
And these all have them in the board. So
it's such a good card.
I still don't, I mean, I get it, but I can only see this if you're playing Hangerback Walker right now.
No, because the thing is that so many threats and so many decks are varied.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your Planeswalkers and everything else, that this removes a little bit of everything. It's not the total board wipe that, like, a Crux is, but can you really consider Crux a total board wipe if you have Xenagos still out?
No.
Pumping out. So this is what that does, is it helps get rid of some of that, because typically they have Xenagos and something else out. And it takes care of the enchantments. So, you know, you can leave their Den Protector and kill their Corsair Crucifix.
That's true.
So yeah, Tragic Arrogance, real deal. I love it. I have seen the ways.
Alright. Your name stands by Tragic Arrogance.
I do. And then last place was just another Red Deck Wins.
Yeah, Red Deck Wins. Everything we've talked about, almost exactly the same as the list I mentioned earlier. This one's running the Atarkas Command and Becomements, so.
So not Red Deck Wins, Gruul Deck Wins.
Yeah, I'll take it how you want it. It's also got the interesting Molten Vortex and 1 of in the sideboard. And for those of you that don't remember, Molten Vortex for a red is an enchantment, and pay one red and discard a land card. It deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
Alright. So, I think that kind of covers all the WMCQs, correct?
Yeah.
Sweet!
We still have 2 decks to go over. Those are going to be our Gamers Vault Higher Standard deck list that won over the past Monday. But there was a big change that will be coming up during the next pre-release in the rules. And Renee, since you are our resident
almost rules person, yes. I'm the resident person who can ask the rules person.
Yeah, exactly. We'll
So, starting at the Battle for Zendikar pre-release, you will be able to use the new Mulligan rule. So, if you Mulligan, you are able to scry.
Only after you've chosen to not mulligan again.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You don't get to mulligan and then figure out if you are going to mulligan again or not based off the scry. You have to say, nope, I'm good with this hand, and then you get the scry.
Yeah.
They're not making it that easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you still get that plus, but you're not getting it.
You still need to know how to handle mulligans.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting because I could see this messing a lot of people up. A lot of people thinking that their next card is going to be a land, so if they're actually on 1/5 for that mulligan to 6, only 1 land in hand, they'll be like, yeah, I'll keep. And then when they scry, they see a card. They see like a Dragonlord Dromoka. You put it on the bottom, the next card is a Deathmist Raptor, and you're like, crap, now I've only got 1 land.
Well, if you are playing Dragonlord Dromoka, you can put it on the bottom, because most likely you have a way to shuffle, so that's not the worst thing in the world. But yeah, you have to be careful, you still have to consider all of the ratios, and if that is a good thing to keep or not. Don't get all willy-nilly with, well, I can mulligan anything because I can scry. This scry isn't really helping you that much.
Yeah, and the closer we get to the Battle for Zendikar, I'm going to try and put together some. Remember how last time we played, would you keep it or would you ship it?
Yes.
We'll play that again. And I'll put in some scries, some interesting scries that you might not think about.
Great. Awesome.
Well, it'll teach the listeners that maybe they should think about what they're going to keep, or if they should keep those interesting hands, have some red deck wins, or some interesting blue-white heroics that you love so very much.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's all the rules that are changing as of right now. It's a little different because this happens with the pre-release rather than the release weekend.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
And I think it's mostly just so people can start to use it with the Battle for Zendikar cards immediately.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, is the scry a May mechanic? Like, you wouldn't call for that?
Let me double check.
Sure. I mean, what I'm trying to say is
if you decide not to scry.
Well, if you just forget, because I know that a lot of people are going to forget that it's the rules change during the pre-release, or maybe certain stores might not announce it. So, is it one of those things that if you actually mulligan and don't scry, you're going to get called on? I don't think so. But
I'm reading. All players who decide to take mulligans do so at the same time. To take a mulligan, a player shuffles their hand. We know that. The player kept his or her hand of cards. Those cards become the player's opening hand. And that player may not take any further mulligans. Then, beginning with the starting player and proceeding in turn order, any player whose opening hand has fewer than his or her starting hand may scry 1.
Yeah,
so it's not something that you can... you're not going to be able to do gotchas. It is a May ability. Am I reading this correctly, Trevor? The scry is a May? For the mulligans?
I mean, it seemed like it would be. Because I don't think they're going to try and punish people for just for forgetting.
They have the rules wording right here. No, it's on the mothership. It says May.
And this link will be in the show notes, as many of the other links.
You can miss it.
Okay, as of right now, you can miss it. They might change that later, but, you know, you're not going to get a game loss for missing it.
Awesome.
Unlike, then, you have to draw a card. You cannot not draw a card.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be that. Oh, crap. I just said go, and I forgot to do my scry a turn ago.
Yeah. Well, you don't get to do it now, but you have to draw that card.
Yeah, so hopefully, if you do miss it, that next card you want it anyway, because you don't have that chance anymore.
All right, but yeah, that's kind of it. If you're unclear about it, definitely talk to your judge or your store organizer, or I'm sorry, tournament organizer or store owner. If it hasn't made it out into your community because you are in a small community, definitely share it with people and maybe have a printout of this to come to pre-release with. That way, as you're mulliganing and scrying, you're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah, and not only that, but before I play any pre-release, and if I have enough time based on deck building, I try and go through a solitaire game, and you might want to add that in if you do that thing, because there's going to be some interesting times that you wish you had an idea of what you could draw. So moving on, we're going to the Higher Standards Monday Night League winners. We had two winners this week, so two people placed 4-0. They don't get a top 8 because based on the time frame they have, they only can do top 4 4-0 winners. So the first one we have is Eric Johnson playing Abzan Arrogance. Just ignore that. And 20 creatures. 4 Hangerback Walker, 4 Fleeceman Lion, 4 Den Protector, 4 Corsair Crucifix, and 4 Siege Rhino. So all 4 of us. Instants and Sorceries are 14. 2 Dramoka's Command, 3 Heroes Downfall, 3 Thoughtseize, and 4 Abzan Charm. Finally, 2 Tragic Arrogance, hence the Abzan Arrogance. 2 Planeswalkers, 2 Elspeth Sun's Champion, and 26 lands, and they're all Abzan varietied. In the board, we've got 2 Wingmate Rock, 2 Drown in Sorrow, 2 Ultimate Price, 1 Sorin, 1 Ugin, 1 Read the Bones, 1 Tasker, 1 End Hostilities, 1 Murderous Cut. 1 Dramoka's Command, 1 Thoughtseize, and 1 Duress. What are your thoughts on this deck? I feel like it's straight aggro, almost.
Yeah, it's Abzan. It tops out at 4, unless you can set off a really big Hangerback Walker.
He called it Abzan Arrogance, and I'm going to call it Abzan Aggrogance. corny jokes. So.
Yep. Awesome. Great.
So who won, who also plays 4-0 right now?
Brandon Thrasher with Mono Red Goblins, and mono is in quotes, so I bet you it's not mono. We've got 4 Goblin Glory Chaser, 4 Foundry Street Denizen, 4 Goblin Pile Driver, 4 Subterranean Scout, 4 Goblin Marrow Master. That sounded jumbled. Goblin Rabble Master. That dude. He's been terrorizing people since last year this time, so, yeah. Then we have 1 Collateral Damage, 2 Lightning Strike, 4 Atarkus Commands. Ah, there it is! Hey, that's green! You're playing Gruul Goblins! 4 Dragon Fodder, 3 Hordling Outburst, and 4 Stoke the Flames. For lands, we've got 4 Wooded Foothills, a Mana Confluence, 2 Forests, and 15 Mountains. You're playing Gruul. In the sideboard, we have 4 Smash the Smithereens, 4 Wild Slash, 4 Exquisite Firecraft, 2 Burn Away, and 1 Lightning Strike.
Yes.
So, you're playing Gruul.
And they said it, and that is the law. Gruul is the call.
Pretty much. Gruul Gobs. Alright, that's alright. You can play Gruul Gobs. You don't get to put mono in quotes. Sorry, Brandon.
So yeah, like I said at the beginning of the show, Gamers Vault every Monday, our standard tournament. go there and maybe you'll get your name displayed on our podcast.
If they had 2 4-0s, that means that it was actually a pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
So, keep that in mind. The turnout is getting bigger. And the more 4-0s we have, the more we get to talk about different decks.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of different things, we're going to move on to spoilers, because we were graced with, what was it, four or five spoilers.
Five, yeah.
Last week. So, first, before we get into that, I just want to make an announcement that I think Trick Jarrett mentioned it in his Twitter post, that all the fat packs for Battle of Zendikar will, in fact, have the full art lands, which I know a lot of people were wondering about, so that's finally an actual release. So
it's a thing.
Pretty awesome.
It's a thing. Now,
I didn't find this out myself, believe me. I wasn't going hunting for this. I was just going to buy a fat pack and hope for the best. But because we have the Higher Spaniards Facebook group, if you haven't joined it, feel free. I found out all of this wonderful information, especially about the spoilers, that we can reveal to you now. So, Renee, which one do you want?
Which one do you think I want?
I think you want the Arrakis one.
No.
And then it's the green one.
Yeah.
It's not that, it's the green one.
Yeah, actually, I don't want to talk about the rare guy yet. We're going to talk about Retreat to Kazandu. Kazandu? I'm being told it's Kazandu.
Retreat to somewhere in Zendikar.
Yes, retreat to random tree in Zendikar. It is 2 and a green. It's an enchantment. It has landfall. I love landfall.
Landfall is back.
And it's really cool because it kind of combines the things from Fate Reforge. So ready? Landfall. When a land enters the battlefield under your control, choose one. Put a 1/1 counter on target creature. What do I like to do? I like to put 1/1 counters on things. Or you gain 2 life. I like to gain life too.
Yeah,
give me 1/1 counters and life and the same card sold.
Yeah, not to mention this being Hangerback Walker is basically the new Goblin Rabble Master, so this and Hangerback Walker are going to have much, much fun.
Now, if only this had a third mode where I got a 3/3 beast creature,
oh, wow,
or even a 2/2 wolf like Primeval Bounty, done, sold.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might be looking at mythic status with that.
Sold. Oh my god.
So the card I'm going to talk about is going to be Dominator Drone. It is 2 and a black for a 3/2 common creature Eldrazi Drone. That's right, Eldrazi's are back. I knew that everybody expected it. We mentioned it earlier. But we also have the drones back. So, this card has Devoid. And that means this card has no color. Even though you're spending a black on it, it is a colorless creature. It also has another new mechanic called Ingest. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. I don't know how good this mechanic will be, but let's continue with the card.
So, yeah, once we get done with this, I have some things.
Whenever Dominator Drone enters the battlefield, if you control another colorless creature, each opponent loses 2 life. So, I really like this card because it's going to be awesome for Two-Headed Giant as well as Eternal formats such as Commander, but that's just me.
Eternal is, or EDH is a casual format,
Eternal. Scratch that. So, what do you like about Ingest?
So, we were talking about that updated Syncope.
Okay.
Where we were, a while ago, Jason and I were talking about how sad it was that it didn't exile the card.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted it to turn off Delve. And now we find out about Ingest and how much things are going to get exiled.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to have some more things like Oblivion Sour that does things with the exiled group.
Oh,
so really it's just a way for your blue decks to have counter spells that aren't powering exiled effects.
Okay.
Does that make sense now?
Yeah. Okay. They're trying to get away from that.
I don't think they're trying to get away from it as much as they don't want to punish blue decks. Like, they're already punishing blue decks by not giving it a 4-mana wrath.
Okay.
They don't want to punish it even farther by then saying, okay, exile that spell. Oh, wait, your opponent can get it back anyway with Oblivion Sour.
Interesting.
Or, you know, any other, any effect like Oblivion Sour, because he only hits it. It only hits land. It, I think it's an it. Really, gender neutral female pronouns? So Das? Das?
Yeah. No, they're all female.
Okay, so, well, all the Eldrazi are female?
Sure.
Oh, okay, so all the Eldrazi are female.
Interesting.
Good to know. So, she likes to do things with lands in the Exile Zone.
Yes.
I'm sure there will be something, some other she that decides to do something else with the Exile Zone.
I'm making that flavor judge ruling based on Ashaya, who is a...
It's an elemental.
Yeah, gender-neutral female pronouns.
Yeah, that's true. Oof. Okay, so...
So what is your next card?
We'll
talk about them all since we only got those six.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the Veteran War Leader real quick.
Go for it.
It is one green-white for a star-star.
Multicolors.
Yes, star-star. Veteran War Leader's power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control.
That's good.
So I'm going to go back to the creature line real quick. He's a human soldier ally.
Ooh, allies.
Tap another untapped ally you control. Veteran War Leader gains your choice of First Strike, Vigilance, Trample, until end of turn. You can tap three allies and just give them everything.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Especially, like, this would be really good in limited, especially if you draft an ally deck and there are a bunch of, saying there are a bunch of viable one or two drop allies, you just totally are like, vroom!
Yeah.
Going to mow you over with this war leader.
Not only that, it's not legendary, so you can have another one and they can help each other out.
It does say other ally. Another, yeah, another untapped ally. You cannot attack and then tap them and give them something silly.
Unless you give them vigilance. And then it can be silly.
Yes. Yes, but, you know, I like them.
Yeah, allies were an awesome, I mean, they were much better for casual than standard, but it was around the same time that Squadron Hawk was around, so allies didn't get that much love. But I think allies could definitely be another thing.
And it's a really good storytelling device for this set, because you have the Eldrazi, which are the enemy, and then apparently, like, everyone on Zendikar is coming together to get shit done.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a really cool storytelling piece that they were talking about that's very subtly included.
Speaking of Eldrazi, we will move on to another card of Eldrazi Drone. This is Forerunner of Slaughter. It costs black and red for a 3/2. It is also devoid, which means this card has no color. For one, target colorless creature gains haste until end of turn. So with devoid in this card, that could be pretty awesome.
So, yeah, I'm really liking the Eldrazis.
Yeah.
I understand why devoid is a keyword, because that's been a question that a lot of people have said, is why this doesn't need to be a keyword. It's an Eldrazi. Of course, it's not colored. Yeah. And that you have to realize that that isn't obvious to newer players, and they really have to keep that in mind. And I'm also pretty sure there's something that's going to interact very clearly with color. Yes?
So... the reason we're doing this is because you can't have colorless creatures in the entire draft format, because you have to have them color balanced.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to have them costed to let any color play that spell. Okay. Could you imagine blue just having access to a 3-drop that drained 2 life?
Yes, but also, you know, this makes it very clear to newer players. Hey, this thing doesn't have a color. Also pretty sure we're going to have things that interact with things that don't have colors.
Also, this applies no matter where they are, by the way.
Yes.
That's a good point.
So even in the Exile Zone. So we might get something that brings
even
back...
in your library.
Oh.
It's a colorless creature even in your library.
Oh.
It's just like Changeling.
Nice. Good to know.
Changeling is all things at all times?
Changeling is all things at all
Devoid is no colors at any time.
No colors at any time.
So that's a good way to remember it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, resident judge expert.
So finally, the last card, Renee.
The last card is Sheer Drop, which a lot of people have kind of poo-pooed at. But it's 2 and a white for a sorcery, destroy target tapped creature. Then it has this other new keyword called Awaken.
This sounds great.
Yes. Awaken 3 for 5 and a white. So, it's not the 5 and a white plus the 2 and a white. It's if you cast Sheer Drop for just the 5 and a white. Alright, so let me read it. If you cast this spell for 5 and a white, also put 3 1/1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land.
I like how they added with haste.
Yes. Yes, because lands need to be fast.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that they did that, and it seems like it's just going to be that way for every awakened spell, but it means that the land that you put in that turn, you can give it haste, which is awesome.
Yes. Yes, as a creature, so that's important.
Yes.
I mean, you can tap it for mana and at any time, but this now you can tap it for...
So essentially for 6, and this is a common, and it's also at sorcery speed, I think Renee mentioned, you're destroying a tapped creature, and you're also getting a 3/3 with haste. So that is... I don't know why people are hating on this card. This is going to be great for limited.
I definitely think Awaken is going to have some very interesting things, and it's going to be very pushed.
Yes.
I understand why people are poo-pooing it right now, because it is like, oh, it's 6 mana for a 3/3 and destroy a tapped creature. And you think about that, and that's 3 mana per item.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's a 3/3 for 3, which isn't terrible. It's pretty basic. It has haste. That's important. And then it's also the additional 3 to do what the spell does anyway.
I think it's balanced.
I think it's very fair for the draft format. I think it's going to be very fair in standard, where not all decks are going to have a bunch of awakened cards, but we're going to get some very good ones that are very relevant either in the early game or the late game.
Yeah, and because this is common, I feel like we're going to get some instant awakened spells that are going to be pretty interesting.
I mean, I could even see an Awaken 2.
Yeah.
That's at sorcery speed for 3 or 4 mana.
Mm-hmm.
And does something silly like put an extra land into play or something else ridiculous.
So with that, yeah, I believe you would put the land into play and then you could still awaken that land.
I would think so too, but again, that's the speculation of me wanting to put more lands into play. We know where my allegiances lie.
Yes. And it's just becoming more allegiance because of landfall, so.
And allies!
Yeah.
Oh, see what I did there? It's okay, you don't have to. We can move on.
So that is all we have. We have one remaining shout out, but that's all we have for the show this week. It's a short show, basically, because there wasn't that much going on. We tried to hit all the interesting things that have happened in MTG. What was it? MTGtop8.com. Hopefully, they'll be posting the Philadelphia results very soon.
Yeah, as I see them, I will post them into the group as long as I am not running around.
So join the group. And do you have any closings? We'll probably be seeing a lot more spoilers coming up too.
Yeah, so this weekend is PAX Prime.
That's right.
So I would expect to get a couple of spoilers from there.
Including Gideon.
Yes. I know we have at least one member of the group going to PAX Prime, so if you are going there, please chime in on that thread that's going on, trying to find other people to meet up with. If you are an artist, Cynthia Shepherd and one of the other art directors for Magic will be there doing portfolio reviews, which is really cool. Even if you don't think your art is up to snuff right now, that you could get some very valuable feedback moving forward to use.
That's cool.
And the, if you follow, you find the Twitter announcement, and I think I've posted it a couple times. If you can't find it, let me know and I'll get it for you, but they have a time slot where they're able to do that at. How do we want to order the next part though? Do we want to talk about the FNM rework or the site launch?
Let's just do the site launch.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Big announcement.
Yes. Huge announcement. On Friday of last week, we were able to launch Card Confidants. You can find it at cardconfidants.com. I've posted a couple things into the group. It is the new and improved MTG Bro Deals. We're covering Hearthstone. We're also going to be covering board games if anybody wants to talk about that. Maybe not so much reviews, but more strategies that you have for board games. Right now we have people going, starting to put up articles about the Hearthstone. There was a release this week, apparently. I don't know.
I think it's the festival.
Yeah, so they're going to be posting things about that.
I don't play, but on Twitch it's all over the place.
Yeah. We still have all of our Magic stuff, so we've had an EDH deck, we've had Ethan Richardness post his Sultai deck, we have Aethercast up for podcasts, we have Will of the Council up, we will have Higher Standards up at some point.
Yes.
The site is a lot cleaner, it's a lot more updated, it works on mobile. If you are on some weird device, and you notice something not quite in the right spot, please message Trevor or myself so we can, and send us some screenshots. Screenshots are really important. We have only been able to do Android testing within our house, and we've thankfully had a lot of Apple people send us back feedback, on just how it looks different for them, maybe.
Yeah, unlike other sites, you can actually send troubleshooting info and it will get done.
Yes, yes. In fact, this evening, Trevor just rearranged a whole bunch of stuff to make it easier on mobile to get around. We are looking for writers. Right now, we've had an awesome turnout of a little bit of everything in about 3 articles per day, which is absolutely astounding. Jack, Trevor, and myself, we're all just overwhelmed by the amount of stuff we've been doing. But we would like to have anything from community stuff, you know, if you have something to improve the community or something you've noticed in the community that you want to analyze, we would happily take it. We will do decks, we will do EDH, I've been trying to do a daily news update if there has been a lot of news from WotC, so like, yesterday there was the full art announcement, and I put up some information that they were releasing about their PAX Prime involvement from Wizards.
Yes.
I've also have an article up on the spoilers that we talked about on this show. It's a lot more cursory, but I did it as soon as it happened and then posted it. So I'm trying to do that in the afternoons as often as I can, depending on what information is out. We would really love to have as many writers as possible and as often as possible. But understand that this is all on you. We're not going to sit here and bug you to write for us either.
Yeah.
I will sit here and ask you nicely, and then if you want to do it, you come do it. Something that we've gotten a lot of good feedback on is that all of our writers and contributors, even podcast people, have their own account. So they are able to go in, completely upload it, get it formatted the way that they would like. It then, when they say save as pending, sends Trevor, Jack, and myself all an email so that we know that we have to go in and look it over real quick, which is then awesome because we can then send that person an email and be like, all right, this is awesome, but maybe this needs some work. Or do you mind if I move this image down and to the left? And it's become a lot more collaborative versus previously where we just had you guys email us the articles, we uploaded them, and then that was kind of it. So we're really trying to foster that community. Trevor's still working on a few other things, like a calendar where you can actually ask us to schedule a release time for your article. Oh, only we see that? Is there a way they could see that? Okay. Well, we're still figuring things out, but we'll have a calendar, so if you tell us a time that you want it, we can actually schedule it. Yeah,
the site was only released a week ago, so.
Oh, and we've done so much already!
Yeah, and there's gonna be so much left to do.
And this is on top of a weekend at Eternal Weekend. This was weekend. Eternal Weekend. There's also Eternal Extravaganza, and I always mix them up. But yeah, so lots of things. Give us feedback. Check us out. Facebook comments are enabled, so you can leave comments for us and we can interact with you. And I think there's been a couple of good ones going on. So yeah, just, you know, support the community because that's really what we're all about. Jack is working on a Patreon so we can hopefully garner some support from the community and then push to pay our writers. The first goal is to pay for the website monthly. The next goal is then to pay our writers who contribute X times a month, and we have to figure that out. And it might not be a lot at first, but then as our goals increase, we can increase our pay for the writers.
Yeah.
And then there are people who want sleeves and polos and t-shirts, and all that can come in good time as we start the Patreon up. I'm also working on a partnership with Black Magic Gaming. They are a wonderful legacy / vintage kind of site. That's kind of their big focus. So I'm hoping that Card Confidants can really focus on the standard, limited, modern, and then they can have the vintage and legacy type stuff. And we can just cross-post with each other and really help each other out there. I think that's it. I'll get off my soapbox now.
It's all good. So, yeah. Go check out cardconfidants.com and submit or just like. I mean, the more people that know about this, the more writers you'll get and the more places you'll be able to connect with.
Yeah, and if you like an article, the best thing you can do for us is either tweet it or share it on Facebook.
Nice.
Definitely also contact the writer through the Facebook comments, but sharing the articles is what really will drive us to get the traffic we need to make this a sustainable thing.
Yes. So over at Gamers Vault, they have changed the way they're doing their FNM, and I believe it is for the better. Do you agree, Renee?
I like this idea a lot. I think it's an awesome thing for everyone as a player.
Yeah, so they're getting great attendance over there, thanks to everybody that's showing up. And instead of paying the top four people, they're instead going to give first place a box, a full box. And 3-1s and 3-0-1s will get 4 packs. So that's pretty awesome, first of all. Then everybody wants to go there to win something, and this is what they're looking to do. So if you get 0-2 after the second round, you're going to be dropped from the FNM. Now that sounds bad because you feel like you can win it back, but at that record, you're not eligible for prizes. So if you can choose to drop if you want, if you're 1-1, and then what they're going to do is they're going to be entering you in a free second tournament. And you don't have to play with the same deck, so that's pretty awesome if you want something to try out something else. And then, in that tournament, it's going to be 3 rounds. First place will get 4 packs. Second place, 3 packs. Third place, 2 packs. And fourth will get a single pack. So there's always a chance to win something. It sounds like there will always be a chance to get something in an FNM. So that's pretty awesome.
And this is really good for people who like to try new deck ideas because it gives you a place to test that idea during 2 rounds. If you see something that's definitely not working and you have a better idea for that slot, switch it around for the second round of, or second tournament of FNM.
Yeah.
It gives you a lot of versatility there, and allows you to really take charge of deck building rather than just net decking.
Yeah, and the great thing is it's not costing you any more time. Like, it will be the same time that it was if you were going to first place in the actual FNM. So.
I wonder how they're going to work that, though.
Well, they cut it down a round. So the second tournament's going to be 3 rounds. So if they
have
in the first one, then it'll be about the same time frame.
So at worst, it's an extra hour.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the end of the night anyway, so why not spend the extra one?
Yes.
But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Again, there was no Jason this week. Hopefully he'll be back this weekend for another episode 38. I know that he missed doing all of his jokes for this weekend, but maybe he'll be able to bring it back.
Next weekend I might be out. I have just some major family things going on top of a potential move and work and stuff. Oh, yeah. So if you don't hear from me, those of you in the Facebook group have a cursory knowledge of what's going on. Just, you know, that's why I'm not here if I'm not here.
Alright. So yeah, thanks everybody for listening again, and we will see you next week.
Bye guys!